It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We have nothing before us. We were all going to heaven. No, we were all going the other way, to hell. Opening words of Charles Dickens, A Tale of Two Cities. One city was Paris. They had a revolution. Heads were cut off. There was division. There was war. There was violence. There was all kinds of corruption exploding in Paris. It spilled off into France. It was the darkest of hours. The other city in the second part of the tale was London. Not perfect, but they had a spirit of Christ and God and redemption and hope in the lives of the people. So there's two different cities, and there's a tale of two different cities. We live in a city, metropolitan Houston, Texas. My, what a city, what a moment in which for you and I to be alive. Various cities in the history of mankind, perhaps no city before, has been so privileged and blessed as we are now in Houston. Look at where we are in Houston. Houston has the number one wealthiest zip code in Texas with a medium income, average income, $240,151 per person. Houston area housing start rates climbed to 28,990 this year, showing growth for the last eight quarters. Forbes magazine says Houston is the top big city where self-employment opportunity is growing the fastest. This fall, Forbes magazine declared Houston the best city for jobs. Houston has the most college graduates over age 25 per capita. This is the best one. U-Haul declared Houston as the number one destination for relocation moves. And last but not least, Forbes declared Houston among the top coolest cities to thrive in America. We've got the cool factor, ladies and gentlemen. A Tale of Two Cities, that's one city. Urban Houston, metropolitan Houston, downtown, midtown, suburban areas of Houston. That's one city. But we've got another city. We've got the inner city. Oh, yeah. The inner city. Well, we know about it. We heard about it. Used to have been there. And we had a flight from the inner city. We call it white flight. Oh no, it's white flight, it's black flight, it's brown flight. Anybody who's in the inner city, they fly out as soon as they can get out. It's flight by all. Flight leaving behind blight. Let's look right here. Let's look in Harris County. That's the best way to look at it. Fatherless cast a shadow of fear, 343,647 out of 1,184,988 children in Harris County live with single mothers. Did you get that? Single mothers. Poverty cast a shadow of fear, 802,318 out of 4,336,853, that's population of Harris County. People in Harris County live below the poverty line, one out of four. Broken educational system. Lack of knowledge cast a shadow of fear. Almost 1,910,739 Harris County adult residents can't read. One out of every four adults in our area cannot read. Did you get that? Abuse and neglect cast a shadow of fear. 25,438 child abuse and neglect reports filed in Harris County. 19,834 are, listen to this, 78% of the perpetrators are parents. 18,053 are 71% of these parents were unmarried. 52% of victims were female ages 1 to 3. Gang rule cast a shadow of fear. 41,000 registered gang members we know about. There are others we know about in Houston. Gangs are connected, of course, to the drug trade. We could go on and on. Because there's a tale of two cities. In every city in America, there's a tale of two cities. And therefore, there is illiteracy, illegitimacy, immorality, depression, despondency, fear. And finally, there's hopelessness. Hopelessness in the inner city and a helplessness in the inner city. And it's stacked up generation after generation after generation. And you got two extremes. You got one extreme that says, let's throw more money at those people and let's just throw more money. The other extreme says, let's take all the money away. Let them go to work. You got a problem. Most of them have a felon among the males there and they can't get a job because they have a record. Two extremes. Take away all the money, throw more money. Both are radically wrong. Now, what are we to do? Two cities, a tale of two cities, right here where we live, right here in the cities around the world, a tale of two cities. Some people just say, oh, just give up, you know, it's not a hope. Let me tell you something, what we've got as Christian people, folks. First of all, we have the commands of God and we have the promises of God. And in light of that, without the communication of God, let me tell you, there are some redemptive answers. Now, let's start right here. Good place to start with the book, is it not? The book always gets us in trouble. It gets me in trouble. If it doesn't get you in trouble, you're not reading it properly. Chapter 15, the Bible says, now we who are strong, that's all of us here, we're in urban America, we're the top side, we're the strong. Oh yeah, every one of us, we're the strong. Ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. The strong are to bear the weakness of the weak. That's a good place to start. What else would each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. We're not to please ourselves. We are to please the weak to his edification. Edification means that they're to be edified and they're edified when you and I are educated. We begin to understand, then we can build up. Oh, I understand it. Just hold on. I thought I did too. But I can tell you, I understand it better. Edification. We're not just to please ourselves. You're not going to find your life by just serving your life. Edification. We're to be a part of the edification process of the weak. Of the weak. Verse 3, for even Christ did not please himself. For as it is written, the approaches of those who reproach you fell on me. We are to identify with him. Boy, if I were in the inner city, let me tell you something. A few escape, but a precious, precious few escape. If you're in the inner city and I were in the inner city, let me tell you, there's oppression. There's generation after generation after generation. There's no easy way out of the trap. No easy way out of the trap, let me tell you that. We got to identify, put on those shoes for a while, go down and look, walk around. Different universe. Verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times were written for our instruction so that perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. That may the God who gives you and me perseverance and encouragement grant to you the same mind of Christ that according to Jesus Christ, we've been given perseverance and encouragement. We're to go and give perseverance and encouragement to the weak. Tale of two cities, one city. Oh, oh, man. There's that other city. Oh, housing, you can't get property housing. It's so expensive around here. Let me take you to some places in that second city. You can buy all the property you want and houses you want for miles and miles and miles and apartments you want for miles and miles and miles. A tale of two cities. Then what else? Verse 7, therefore accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. We were accepted, we are accepted him. And he goes on to say, Jesus was a servant of the Jews and a servant of the Gentiles. That's verse 8 all the way through verse 12. Now verse 13 says that may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing so that, we read it, you will abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you say, how in the world can I accept this? How in the world can I bear the burden of the weak? We can do the only basis of love. About 30 years ago now, three or four of the guys in the church took me down to the Toyota Center to see a closed circuit prize fight. I don't remember who was fighting. I don't know whether it was Foreman or Frazier or Ali or Sugar Ray. I don't know who was there, but boy, we were fired up. We went to this fight, big old screen. I'd never seen anything. Man, it was packed. Man, it was fire. Man, I liked it. Oh, goodness. It was so good. So when the fight was over, I was walking down some steps, and I was showing them with my great knowledge of boxing. You know, I had my hands up. We were talking, walking in the crowd, and I was showing them. And so coming up the steps was another man. He was an 18-year-old kid then. I didn't know him, African-American. And I looked over there, and he was showing his friends the same thing. So we got down to the bottom. We just never met each other. We just got down, and we laughed, and I was doing like this. He started laughing. He says, who are you? I said, I'm Ed Young. Who are you? I'm James Dixon. And he's an 18-year-old kid who had to be a pastor. His dad was a pastor. His grandfather was a pastor. And his father was a pastor. He was beginning a little church there. And so we laughed and talked. I got to know him. And time went by. And he came up to our church at Woodway. And I showed him around. And he started to come up there and park his car at night and just pray in our parking lot. Praying that Lord would give him a vision to build a church there in the inner city. I've kept up with James casually through the years. Now he has the title of bishop. He's got a big church down there in the inner city. I called him and talked a while, and I told him my burden. I said, we live in two cities. I said, I need to know more about it. Not like I hadn't been there, I didn't go, and we do things, et cetera. But I said, I really want to know, are there any answers here? What's going on? And he's told me this story. He said, last Saturday, we had some ministry going on down there in one of the toughest areas in anywhere around here. And I'll not identify it purposely so. And they're just miles and miles of slum rooms, apartments, couple of stories high. He said, we go down there as a church and do ministry and try to help these. Most of these are single mothers, birth mothers with multiple kids, many times don't even know who the fathers were. And he said, we were doing ministry there with them. He said, I was sitting outside kind of steering all of our teams as he went to all these areas. And he said, then here comes the ice cream truck Saturday. And it comes down the street. And there's that music. He said, not a kid came out. He said, I knew there were hundreds and hundreds of kids. It's miles of these slums. Do, 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 do. And the ice cream truck comes by. Do, do, do. Good weather. Do, 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 do. The old kid came out. He said, I sat there wondering what in the world. Do, 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 do. He said, the ice cream truck went on through. Not a kid came out. He said, I wonder why. Then he said, I realized they didn't have enough money to buy a popsicle. Not a one of them. Not this area. And he said, I went and ran down that ice cream truck. I said, come on back. Said the truck came back. Said the Hispanic man and his son were in the truck. He said, park right here. I'm going to buy ice cream for any kid that wants any. He said, I sent my guys up there and said, first two or three kids came, four or five kids came, seven, eight kids. He said, son, there's a long line of kids there. He said, but they came out from anywhere from four to five, even up to 16 or 17. He said, they all had their heads down. He said, they came up there to the little gate, the truck, and they'd say, what do you want? And they would point to one of the ice cream, Tutti Frutti, whatever. And he said, then they would look out and say, oh, yeah, and they would order it. And he said, I would pay for it. He said, then I realized everyone came with their head down. And he said, I went over there and said, hold your head up. Hold your head up. Look up there and read what you want and tell the man. And he said, a lot of them couldn't read. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, couldn't read. He said, those that could read, they were hard to hold their head up. And he said, I bought ice cream. And I told him, I said, James, I'm jealous. I want to be there. I'd wish I had been there to buy some ice cream myself. I'm jealous of you. And I said, I want to go there right now. So we left his church, went together, went to the spot. We got there Friday afternoon at the time the buses were arriving. Here, buses coming. I mean, kids coming out of there, all young kids, this stream of buses. I mean, dozens, hundreds, just everywhere, all the way through the slum area. All of them came out there, and they started to scatter and go up. And I noticed there wasn't a single adult there to meet a single one of them. Not an adult. Not an adult. And they run up in those little places. I looked over there, and there's some guys on a rail here hanging over the rail, the second story, and the guy hanging over the rail. And I said, who are those guys? They said, they're Bloods. So how do you know? So they got all red and black. Bloods. Gang. And they're sort of supervising, running everything here. Charge of everything here. I'm beginning to get it. That'd be very smart to figure that out, do you? Anybody need any explanations? You listening? What's happening in the inner city, let me tell you. Number one, hope is crushed. When hope is crushed, you'd have different words. Say, well, you know what we can do about that? Oh, yes. Let me ask you a personal question. Just think for a minute. You have to think hard. If you had all the power and all the resources, now stay with me. I've had longer to think about this and pray about this and cry about this than you have. But if you had all the power and all the resources, could you mark off a square of the inner city? How many blocks, how much, I don't know. And if you had power and all the power, all the resources, could you make a difference in the lives of those families and primarily single mothers? Could you make a difference there? Could you clean that place up for God and for Christ and for humanity? Could salvation come there in lives and hope? Could you do that with all power and all resources? The answer, by the way, is yes. The answer is yes. Where do you start? You start, first of all, of getting the bad guys out, no questions asked. Now, that's not an easy thing. You say, well, you can't do that. Just sit back. Get the bad guys out. Well, I'll have my rights. No, you don't. Everybody there knows who they are. No, get them out. Get them out. Number two, find the champions that are in that area. There's a few champions down there that are frightened and beat up. Find those champions and tell them this is now a safe place. Okay? Then you bring all the king's horses and all the king's men and see who really cares, who really loves, and who really wants to be a part of the healing. I'm talking about the lines of corporation and businesses. I'm talking about all the politicians who talk the game and play the game and exploit people. I'm talking about the nonprofits. I'm talking about the churches. I'm talking about the hospitals. I'm talking about every entity, the educational system, and go in and rehab and train and build and see those who can be getting off drugs. Those who can't, we send them to some of these military bases that are basically empty, and we provide to them and give them another chance. Otherwise, we get them off drugs. We love them. We train them. When I was in high school, we had vocational training. We had shop. You learn how to be a carpenter. You learn how to pour asphalt. You learn how to build something, to make something, to weld. That's gone today. Go in there. Train these who are salvageable. Love those who are lovable. Provide protection for those kids. The kids don't go out and play around there because they're in danger. Did you read the statistics that are there on the wall? Those aren't just numbers. They're human beings, God's precious gift to us. You say, well, you didn't mention, I don't have all the answers. I see the problem. I see some beginning ways to move. And I see with a cooperative effort to get the bad guys out, to find the heroes and champions that are there within, and to turn loose God's people by God's grace. This family, be patient, be prayerful. We're going to throw everything we got to make a difference for Jesus Christ in the inner city of this part of the world. Amen. You say, well, I don't know if I want to. Let me tell you something. Your ice cream's melting. We can go through there and do, 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 do. Oh, here's some clothes. Here's some food. Here's milk. Do, 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 bye. Do, 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 do. Oh, I feel so good. Let me tell you what I did. I really gave my help. That's all good and fine. That's a Band-Aid, folks. We got to go in there and deal with the cancer and cut it out so there can be health. I don't know how to do it. Don't think there's any prideful thing here. There's only brokenness here. But I can tell you, I believe with the power, it's going to be tough to get it. Governors, presidents, lieutenant governors, elected people, lines of industry, all big corporations, everybody will give you lip service. Let's see if they'll get down in the trenches and we can cut out a space and see a safe place of redemption. And we cut out another space, see a same place, and we cut out another space. No telling what God can do when his people begin to be obedient to his book and realize that our ice cream is melting and we want our ice cream to be served as long as there's breath in your body and mind.
We have all felt alone. Even Jesus experienced loneliness during his time on earth. But God did not create us to live in a constant state of loneliness. We need community and fellowship with others for our emotional and physical well-being. Listen, if you're experiencing loneliness today, we have created a booklet that will help you overcome the lonely seasons in your life. Within its pages, you'll find some practical steps to overcome loneliness and to live in fellowship with others.
To get your copy of Dr. Ed Young's booklet, Loneliness, call the number on your screen or go online at winningwalk.org. It's our gift to you for your financial support of this ministry. Call today and experience freedom from the prison of loneliness.
I love Romans 12, too. The Apostle Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "Do not be conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, the plan of God, the design of God." And that design is good, acceptable, and perfect, the apostle tells us. Now, this verse reminds us, me, of sort of a little simple pedestrian illustration, a tube of toothpaste. You know, you can take and shape it from the outside, and, you know, it's just pliable. You can move it around. Phillips has a translation that says, "Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold." Perhaps he was thinking about toothpaste. And that's what can happen to us. The world can just form us. But if we're in Christ and Christ is in you, guess what? We're transformed. And this is the illustration of the balloon. Christ in us, the Holy Spirit is in us, and therefore we are shaped by Him because our mind is being shaped by Him. You can dent the balloon and change its shape a little bit, but it bounces back. It is being transformed from within. What about you? Are you like a tube of toothpaste? The world just sort of shapes you? Or are you being transformed from within by the renewing, the building, the refreshing of your mind and your heart? That's transformation. That's Christianity. That's our walk with the Lord. Think about it. Try it. God in Christ will build in you, as He's continually building in me, a brand new mind where you see things differently and you realize that, hey, I don't know when it started exactly, but there's a transformation project going on within me. That's the thrilling part of walking with Christ.